This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Andy Robbins. The issue at this year's Respecting Differences event in Kalamazoo is gender inclusion. The sessions Wednesday are sponsored by Western Michigan University and several other schools and local governments. Transgender actor and activist Scott Turner Schofield will talk about what he sees as a society in transition when it comes to accepting how people express gender. Schofield says his interest in the issue started early.
It all started a long time ago when I was in high school in Charlotte, North Carolina, where defeated Governor Pat McCrory was then, at the time, mayor. And there was a real big debacle over actually a theater show called Angels in America, which came to Charlotte. And there was a terribly homophobic incident that actually took a national stage where the homophobic politicians in the area decided to defund everything. They defunded children's arts programs. They defunded the symphony because they did not want arts funding supporting what they called the homosexual agenda at the time. Now, at the time, I was a 15-year-old person who I didn't really know what my labels were. I didn't know anything except that I was different. And that everything they were saying felt like an attack on me. And what ended up happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, is that the community really rallied and they created their own private arts funding organization that ended up funding way more than the government ever did. And it was a real slap in the face of homophobic politicians. All of them were deposed. They went down in infamy, which was really amazing. You know, it was theater, it was LGBT politics and rights. It was, understanding my place as an individual in a homophobic society. At the time, I didn't even know I was trans yet, because that word wouldn't even come to me until I was 20 years old. That label wouldn't even start to make sense in my development as a person, which is often the case for a lot of transgender people. But it was a really kind of galvanizing moment to understand my power as an individual, to work collectively with other people, and it just so happened to be around the arts. I was a theater student, and so I really understood the power of theater and using your voice in an artistic way, and then I saw how it worked in a community activism kind of way, and I've been doing it literally ever since.
Now, you have combined, as you say, your concern and activism in these issues with your career. I believe you were the first openly trans character on a daytime drama.
Openly trans actor, in daytime. Playing a trans character also, but yes.
What was that experience like?
It was amazing. It's so funny because nobody I know watches The Bold and the Beautiful, but it's actually the most watched television show on the planet. It has 33 million viewers per day. And the international press, as well as, it happened kind of during the transgender tipping point moment when Caitlyn Jenner came out and, Orange is the New Black was huge and all those things. And so it was this really big moment to step onto a global platform and kind of shine my light as a person who has come through a lot of adversity, who has really made it my mission to help others get through easier than I did. It was really, really amazing. And I'm still feeling the effects of that.
Now, you also have a one-man show. 127 Ways to Become a Man, I believe, is the title.
Becoming a Man in 127 Easy Steps.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So Becoming a Man in 127 Easy Steps is a one-man show about my experience of being a man. And, a lot of the work that you see about transgender people really focuses on our transition, that very dramatic moment in our lives when we decide to make our true selves known to the world. And that shows up as part of my story, but it also shows up as, what it was like being 4 years old and finally getting what gender was in a very traumatic way, which traumatic to me at the time. I thought I was going to play Mickey Mouse in a school play. And the whole time during all of the rehearsals and everything, I was sure that I was playing Mickey. And then on the day of the recital, my mom showed up with a Minnie Mouse costume And I just like lost it, you know, and it was this really sort of intense moment for me. And then, you know, all the way up through what it's like to be, you know, to be me now. For instance, I'm getting married, and my whole process of asking my girlfriend to marry me was beset with all of these messages that I've been getting my entire life about how I'm unworthy to marry another person, either because, you know, for a while I thought I was a lesbian, or because of what, you know, transgender rights are now, that this act of deciding that I love this person and I want to be with them for the rest of my life and I want to give all that I am and all that I have to them, you know, was clouded by all of these political messages that had been just pushed on me since childhood, right? So the process of working through that to the moment where I ask her to marry me, right, is one of the stories. So it's kind of the story of a whole life instead of just one part, which is our transition, which is very important, very dramatic, very interesting. But I think it's time to tell more of a story around that.
You've said that we're a society in transition when it comes to attitudes towards gender, transgender people, and non-binary people is a term that we're hearing more about. How do you think that transition is going?
You know, transition is always mixed, right? There's that amazing inspiration of I've got to move forward. We've got to, you know, we've got to change, and that's so great. And then there's all that fear and hesitation and all that stuff that holds us back, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be transition, right? It would just be moving forward, right? And so, you know, there are many fearful people who don't like change. And I know a bit about not liking change myself. I mean, I laugh all the time. I say I'm a transgender person who doesn't love change, right? Like, change can be difficult. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times we think of that phrase, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. So we can get caught up in like, oh, well, maybe we should stay with the way things are because, you know, better the devil you know, right? Even though it doesn't work for everybody, even though people are being excluded, even though 41% of people are attempting suicide because of the way that we do gender, we should maybe stay with that, you know, rather than saying, no, there's a better way. All we have to do is open ourselves up, you know, embrace new things, be positive and be creative. Right. So, you know, I think you're seeing all of those things in our society's transition. And, you know, that's to be, you know, I really understand it. And I really make room for people who are scared and who don't understand. And that's why I do the work that I do, because I want people to understand that this is not a big deal, but that we do have to find a better way, because we cannot have this many kids attempting suicide as we do.
You've said that you like to try to approach these issues by making everyone as comfortable as they can be, but there has to be, you know, some discomfort on all sides, at least occasionally.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is to just really hold space for that and to say, look, I get it, and it's okay for you to have that. It's not okay for you to be mean about it, right? You know how sometimes we get scared and we get mean? We get defensive and angry, right? Like, that's a totally natural thing to do. But if we're going to do this, we have to do it really consciously and be brave enough to say, I'm really scared about this. I really don't understand this. And it's really a block for me. And then to be brave enough to listen rather than ignoring people mm-hmm. out of hand. You know, the most frustrating thing that I deal with as a transgender person is people who, when I say, look, here's a really easy way to make things easier for transgender people. Say, for instance, when you're doing new construction anywhere that's public, making gender-neutral bathrooms, right? Gender-neutral bathrooms are wonderful because it means that if I'm a dad and I have a young daughter and she needs to go to the restroom, I don't have to worry. If I'm a mom and I'm taking my elderly father who needs help going to the restroom, I can take him. That's okay. If I'm a disabled person, I have the room to move, right? Like, gender-neutral bathrooms are for everybody. But people just dismiss it out of hand as though the transgender part of that experience isn't, it's just, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, it can't be like that. I mean, you can't, you wouldn't believe how many times I hear people talk like that, rather than agreeing to consciously listen and take in all of the facts and really consider what it would mean to make a small change in the world, right? I think Republicans and Democrats, if we listen to each other that way about entitlement reform or infrastructure, right? Like, we could actually really, if we just listened rather than getting all defensive and wanting to keep things the same, not change, I think we would have a much easier time with it. And, you know, part of that is saying, look, I get that you're scared. I get that this is hard. And that's okay. But now we have to all take a deep breath and listen to one another and figure it out.
The trend in the so-called bathroom bill arena seems to be heading away from restrictions that prevent trans people from using the bathroom that they prefer to use. I would assume you consider that a victory.
Absolutely. The bathroom bills are still, there are still many of them on the books. They're still working their way through different state legislatures. And luckily, people are really getting mostly through financial pressure. I mean, in Texas, the bill is being considered already killed, even though it's still going up for a vote, just because of the oil companies are threatening to leave Texas. I mean, can you imagine Texas without the oil companies? No, right? So, you know, these organizations where they do value diversity and the things that every diverse person has to offer, right, are saying, if you're not going to value our diversity, then we're going to take it someplace else. You know, I consider that consciousness to be a major win, right? I wish that people had the consciousness of understanding that transgender people have been using these bathrooms forever. There are no instances where, you know, these fears that are coming up about predators using the bathrooms, like, that isn't happening. Those are fears that were constructed, right? I wish people would get on board with that. But if it takes just big companies having economic pressure to kill these bills, well, I'll take what I can get.
I wanted to touch on the non-binary issue. People who prefer not to be known as either a male or female, and that gets to what you might call the pronoun issue. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So non-binary is one term that's kind of an umbrella term to refer to a whole bunch. There are, if you even go on Facebook right now and you say, I want to change what my gender descriptor is, there are 50 different words that you could pick, right? So whatever your comfort is, whatever feels like it most resonates with you, I think that's really awesome because, you know, it doesn't matter what you call yourself in the end, but you do have to feel comfortable, right? So non-binary folks are folks who are like, look, I don't like these definitions of a man or a woman that society has given us. And I prefer to just be me. And I deserve to be respected for just being me, just the same way that I want to respect other people for just being them, however you show up in the world, whatever your gender expression may be, right? And so that can look really different. You know, if you imagine David Bowie in the 80s, right, or Annie Lennox in the 80s, then, right, like a very kind of like, what am I looking at kind of experience, right? And a lot of folks ask not to be referred to by male or female pronouns, right? Not as he or she, but rather as any number of things. But again, kind of an umbrella term we use is they as the singular. I get that that's new for a lot of people. I get most people have probably never referred to one person as they in their lives, and it grates them to think about doing so. But all of the dictionaries have agreed that this is okay. You can go look it up. They was the word of the year in 2015. And using they as a singular pronoun when you're trying to respect somebody else's gender identity is completely grammatically okay by every style guide there is.
When you speak in Kalamazoo during the Respecting Differences event on April 12th, what do you hope that, if there's one top line thing you hope people take away from that event, what would it be?
Well, what I'm hoping to offer folks, it's really for people who are trans and non-binary who want to come and feel like hear somebody speaking their language, hear somebody saying out loud the things that we know are true. So I really want that. And I especially want that for young people. It's a totally family-friendly event. Young people who really need to hear somebody who's gone through it and who's speaking from a platform, really honoring them. Like, that's a big thing that I want. But also what I want is folks who are really struggling with this, people who, you know, just don't get it, right? What I want to offer for folks like that is a really safe space to come to listen and hear ideas without feeling attacked. I'm not going to attack you. I'm going to offer you some ideas with utter respect for where you're coming from, with what I think is a mutual desire to make the world better and safer and more comfortable for a group of people in our culture who, let's just say, are having a really hard time of it. You know, those are the values that I'm coming to this with. And you're going to learn words and concepts that I hope will make it easier for you to go out and do that in your own daily life in whatever ways you want to or are able to.
Actor Scott Turner Schofield is the keynote speaker at the Respecting Differences event in Kalamazoo this Wednesday. The session's at 9:30 in the morning and 1:30 that afternoon at Miller Auditorium are free and open to the public. You've been listening to WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Andy Robbins. Please join us again at this time Thursday, and thanks for listening.